Hello, this is Chad Walker. Welcome to the Fandomania Geek Music Podcast. I'm really super excited to be talking to Samus. Hello.
Hi!
All right, so tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Okay, so let's see. So one of the hats that I wear is that I'm a PhD student at Cornell University. But in terms of geek music, I'm a producer and rapper. Obviously, it goes by the name Samus, which is taken from one of the best video games of all time, or video game franchises, I should say, Metroid. And that's the name of the main character. For those of you that don't know, you should familiarize yourself with it because it's an awesome canon. But essentially, I picked the name because I produce beats, and as a woman, I found a lot of people questioned my ability to actually produce beats, and I think that it was nice to be able to pick a character who represents like someone who pushes back against gender ideas or gendered ideas about what people should be doing. And also, I love video games, so Samus was like the perfect character for me to embody as a rapper and producer.
Right, and then it also ties into your most recent album, Another M, because you have an extra M in your name. Yeah. Could you talk about what? Why the extra M in there?
Yeah, so I did it because I didn't want Nintendo to sue me. Because I know that they're, you know, as they should be, very protective of their stuff. So I figured I would switch up the spelling a little bit, but then it worked out in me being able to have this cute little play on words for this album, Another M, because I have an additional M. And for those of you that know the Metroid franchise, you know that there's a game called Other M. So it was a little play on words there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you make your own beats. I've always been kind of curious how one actually makes beats, because I don't really know anything about actually making music. Can you talk about your process of how you do that? I'm sure it's different for different artists, but...
Yeah. Totally. And it's interesting that you should ask that, because last week I was invited to a colleague's class. She's doing a class about sampling. And so she invited me to go into her classroom and do like a little beat making tutorial. Yeah, it was very, very cool. So I guess the process differs a little bit depending on what I'm trying to do. So for example, in the Another M project, which is the one that references Metroid, that one was a little bit more focused than I usually am when I'm making beats. So in that project, it was like I had a selection of different songs that I wanted to kind of chop up sample wise. And I knew that each song should correspond with a particular kind of like feeling. So I had ideas about the tempos and stuff already in my mind. But if I'm just kind of like sitting around, like for example on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, I should make a beat, I usually will I have a bunch of like drum kits, like different drum sounds, and I'll just kind of mess around with those, like kind of have like a little MIDI keyboard I can plug into my computer, or I can just, you know, drag them, click them out. And I use the software Logic. Sorry if this is boring people, but so I just kind of mess around. It's like paint splatter, just throwing things in and trying things out. I don't usually have a particular kind of direction, but I think because the drums form the foundation of a song, it's nice. It's easy to kind of start there. And then once I have the kind of basic rhythm of the track, I think then I start playing with like melodies. I really like synths. I really love synth sounds, and specifically synth sounds that have like video game kind of undertones to them, or like early video game undertones to them. I love that type of stuff. Like Sonic the Hedgehog is my favorite soundtrack of all time. So things that are very melodic and would fit well within that kind of canon of music, I gravitate towards. So I just experiment a lot, but start with the beat and then kind of move on to little melodic pieces, I guess.
Okay, so the beats then are created, I mean the sounds themselves are created in the program mostly? Is that how it physically works, I mean?
The synth sounds are definitely like within the program, and you can modify them accordingly. So I have a few like presets that I've developed that I like for how I want my sounds to be. But the basic framework of those sounds is actually in the Logic software. I think some people use plugins or bring in additional instruments, but I don't really do that.
Right, sure. Okay. Yeah, like I said, I've since I'm not someone who actually knows how to make music, I've always been kind of curious, and you definitely seem like someone to ask how it would work. So one of my favorite tracks on the most recent album on Another M is Mae Jemison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. My wife is an elementary school teacher, and whenever she talks about awesome scientists, she always brings up Mae Jemison. So in the song, you say you're the fifth element mixed with Mae Jemison. Is that you balancing the geeky musician side with the academic side? Is that kind of what's going on there?
Yeah, kind of. The whole project was really weird for me because I kept trying to figure out, like, whose story am I telling? Like, am I speaking for, like, 100% from the perspective of Samus, the bounty hunter who has nothing to do with this, you know, African-American woman in Ithaca, New York, you know? Like,
right.
They're two very separate stories, but I kept feeling like I can't separate the two. So in my mind, it was like, Mae Jemison was my childhood hero, like Anango, the girl who's making the production and the music, you know, my hero. And I wanted to find a way to bring her history in because she's a real astronaut. You know, she actually was in outer space.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's really important to tie that in. And but then at the same time, there's this fantastic element to what I'm talking about. And, you know, the fifth element is one of my favorite movies of all time. And also focuses on this, you know, very powerful woman who kind of holds the key to the universe. So I think I was trying to combine those two elements in that line, specifically kind of my things that I really loved as a kid, things that I really connected with as a kid that tied in my story to like this outer space journey.
Okay. That's kind of what I was picking up on. Makes sense. Yeah.
I'm the fifth element mixed with Mae Jemison. You fake feminist pissed and stay jealous. Man telling me it's suicide. Well, it's do or die. I'll be fighting like Budokai for you and I gotta go, Federation on the phone, solo mission, no audition for the role, I'm out the dough. I be anxious to attack, and see that's why they chose me. Ain't a pussycat, all these trolls look like Josie. Uggs never cold feet, young, still I'm OG. Someone who can run and throw the gun to the OT.
Another track that I really love, and it's not one that's actually on the album, is Three Fifths.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's such a powerful track. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about the track?
Yes, for sure. So Three Fifths is actually, it's like a separate, it doesn't even really have a home at this point. Mm-hmm. So it was made for a movie soundtrack. A friend of mine, he was filming a movie, I think trying to put together a film maybe a year or two ago. And so he reached out to me and my label mate, D Nails, he's the one who produced the track.
Right.
And he asked, can you two put together a track for me for this movie? And so the film doesn't necessarily focus on like, you know, police brutality or those kinds of issues. But when D Nils sent me the production, like that's all I could really hear. Like the beat, I feel like really, to kind of get back to what you were talking about with production, I think beats tell stories by themselves about what kind of content they desire to have wrapped over them in a way. So I heard it and it like spoke to me in that way. And I was like, this is what this has to be about. So, the song is sort of reflecting on, at least for me, the past year or 2 years of tension between, people, you know, in the African American community, but I think also people who kind of empathize with what's going on around, you know, the kind of state sanctioned murder of black bodies.
Right.
And it's a really difficult topic to grapple with. And so I think in the song, you hear a lot of my anger because I was really, you know, thinking a lot about that as it was, as I was writing it, as I was rapping it. And so the response that I've had has been so, it's weird to talk about like a positive response for a song like that, but I've had a sort of very, like meaningful conversations with people about that. So I'm really happy that you connected with that track.
Oh yeah. And the entire metaphor, the three-fifths referencing back to the slavery and it's so good.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. You know, and it makes me so happy to speak to someone who has an appreciation for, like, you know, the Mae Jemison track and then for Three Fits, you know, because there's always, I'm not sure if you've had this conversation with other people in the scene, but there's always this tension around, like, content when you're someone who is, works in, like, the geek music world, you know, where there's always a fear that if you get too real and you remove yourself a little bit from some of the, like, you know, the references that people are familiar with, they'll just jump ship. Like, this isn't talking about Metroid. I'm done. I'm not listening to you anymore. You know, so I'm happy that people have stuck with me even when I want to talk about something like that, you know. They don't give a fuck about us. If she brown, when in doubt, gun her down and now what? I wonder how much y'all judge. It's the worth of my soul. I tend to round up Three Fits to a hole. Walking round the block, got a pause at the crosswalk. Now we start to jog as the cops stop. Pop, pop, caught a couple pot shots. And now they drawing chalk around his body like he hopscotch. They Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
I was going to bring that up, actually, what you're talking about right there with the whole nerdcore. I just read your an interview with you in Impose.
And you
said you're kind of hesitant to use the term nerdcore for that exact reason that you were just saying. I do think, though, that even within the nerdcore, I do see a lot more of the meaningful songs that just have the nerdy references as kind of the underlying metaphor.
Yeah.
So is that something you see happening more? Or?
I do. And I feel it's always weird, I think, for me to talk about it, because I feel like a newcomer in a sense. Like, I don't feel like it's almost like fair for me to evaluate this whole subgenre, because I haven't been a part of it historically, so it feels almost a little unfair for me to come in and say, this is what nerdcore is about, and this is what I'm about, and, you know, we don't have a neat overlap, because maybe I'm just not seeing certain artists, maybe I'm not hearing certain people because I'm in certain places. So right. I think that I have definitely met artists who are more interested in, like, walking the line that I'm trying to walk, then, you know, let me talk about this specific game or this specific canon from the perspective of this, you know, a particular character, which I want to make it clear that I don't feel like that's not important in itself. Like, mm-hmm. I think games by themselves are important, like cultural artifacts are important things. They don't have to be necessarily making a particular statement. I think that they're wonderful fantasy worlds that I adore. And so I get hesitant about this question, because I think the way that it's often framed is like, hey, you talk about important issues and games. And I don't want it to be like that, because games are important, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't think you didn't frame it that way, but I think that when I get asked about it by people who aren't familiar with, like, the nerdcore world, it's always this kind of, like, split, that I feel like totally delegitimizes how important games are in themselves. So I'm rambling, but I say all that to say that I do see room and space and people making space in the nerdcore world for talking about, for using, like, games, cartoons, comic books, etc., as a vehicle for talking about things like, you know, race, sexuality, you know, all kinds of political issues. I definitely think that exists more so than I was familiar with a few years ago. So that's exciting.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. It is kind of a weird thing that one term has so many different things under it. I mean, you wouldn't think that nerdcore would have that much under it, but it definitely does.
Yeah,
for sure. You also I saw on your Facebook page, you also list out, you have blurredcore and feminerdcore.
Yes,
I love that.
A little bit facetious there.
Obviously, yeah, right. Exactly. I thought that was pretty great.
Awesome. I'm glad you appreciate that.
Yeah. One of the other things that I wanted to ask about, not specifically about your music, but you're in the video for Open Mike Eagle's Ziggy Starfish. Am I correct? That's you basically, you're right there at the beginning. You walk off and okay.
Okay. It's super dark. Okay. You can't see me. You see like a little gold chain, and I'm like,
right.
You know, 13 seconds later, it's gone.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was pretty sure that that was you because I watched the whole thing. I'm like, that's got to be who that was.
Yes.
I didn't see anybody else who looked at anything like it. So okay, I just want to make sure. So how did that come about?
Let's see. It's a really interesting, weird way that that happened. But basically, I met Open Mike Eagle maybe 3 years ago. He was on tour with actually Mega Ran at the time. And like about 2 or 3 weeks prior to him, to Mega Ran coming to Ithaca, he had just found me. Like I had just dropped my first project, Mother Brain. Mm-hmm. And he was like, who are you? You're like some woman version of me. So I was like, hey, I looked on your tour page. You're coming to Ithaca. You should totally come to Ithaca. Or you should totally let me open for you when you come to Ithaca. And so that happened. I met Mike Eagle. He's super nice. Awesome. And then fast forward 2 years later, and I was in New York City for a conference. So I was doing my kind of like academic stuff, and Mike Eagle had a show there. This was in April. And so I was like, oh, I'll go see him perform. And then when I went to see him perform, he was like, oh, I'm shooting a video on Tuesday. You should come through and be a part of it. So I popped in for that. That was that following Tuesday. And then lo and behold, I'm in the video for five
nice.
Seconds.
Nice. You know, it's funny. I just made a connection here also. He's definitely very, he himself anyway, is definitely very nerdy. But his music, I would not quite call it nerdcore, but he definitely has some of the nerdy references in there. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's kind of that other, you know, that other side of it there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know. There's a point, I think of like a line or there's like a spectrum where you have like indie rap and there's a certain line that gets crossed in order for you to be called nerdcore, but he's mm-hmm. like courting that line before you, that label gets dropped on you. Cause he has, like you said, he's got references. It's obvious that these things are meaningful to him.
Right.
He's not just being sort of like using them in very shallow ways, but at the same time, you know, maybe it's the production or the way that he raps about them, but he's received very differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I would give up on my cybernetic armor if I could be a daughter. If I had my mother and my codec, I would call her. I barter at the altar, trying to bother God to talk with mama and my father. Yeah, I would give up on my cybernetic armor if I could be a daughter. If I had my mother and my codec, I would call her. I barter at the altar, trying to bother God to talk with mama and my father. Yeah, when I got older and stronger, I had to leave home. Yeah, bounty hunting was calling, I heard that ringtone. Every single time I was sparring,
so since this is for Fandomania, one of the questions that I always like to ask people is, what are you a fan of?
Ooh, what am I a fan of? Let's see. I am a fan of, gosh, there's so many things to think about. Okay,
right.
Movie-wise, I really love, like, the Hot Fuzz trilogy.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'll take that back because I don't like the last movie. And a lot of people were very upset with me for having that opinion. But I think Shaun of the Dead is brilliant.
Brilliant.
And Hot Fuzz is just, it's a masterpiece. Like, I have watched that movie probably thousands of times. And every time I watch it, there's like a new little tiny joke that I'm like, I didn't even catch that. It's just so brilliant.
Right.
But the most recent one, I wasn't in love with, but I'll say that trilogy just because I really like the Mario cartoon. Like, it's really bad, but I love it. I have the DVD set. I'm looking at it right now.
Nice.
it's pretty atrocious, but I'm into it. I have this, like, have you ever heard the term, like, hate watch?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I was having a conversation with someone recently where I was like, oh, I don't hate watch things, but I realize now that I do because that cartoon is awful, but I watch it all the time. I love kind of very dated cartoons.
Right.
Like Scooby-Doo, I think is hilarious. I also enjoy, I'm looking at my collection. I have a Dragon Ball Z VHS.
VHS, wow. Do you actually have a player still?
I do.
Wow, nice.
I'm looking at it too. And it's hilarious that you asked that because I teach a class and it's like, it's college age students. So they're like 18, 19, but sometimes I'll bring up like listening to cassettes and they look at me like, what is a cassette?
Like, nice.
What are you talking about?
Right.
video game wise, I love retro games. So I'm a huge fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. Adore it. Obviously, I love Metroid. I really like the game F-Zero. It's like a super fun, like futuristic world. I don't know. I really got into F-Zero, and I love the music for F-Zero too. I'm not sure how much other fan stuff I should throw out there. Am I doing a bad job? Do I need
That's absolutely fine. This is one of those questions that people. I mean, people have taken it in all kinds of different directions.
Everywhere, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And some people go on and on forever about all kinds of different things, and some people just focus on one thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I admit it is definitely a tough question, and quite honestly, I'm not quite sure how I would answer it. So.
Yeah, right. I was about to flip the script and be like, "I'm a fan of."
Right. Yeah. I totally stole it from Fandomania is run by Jason and Celeste, and they have a podcast also.
Yeah.
And they use that question for their when they do interviews. So I totally stole it from them.
Hey, sharing is caring.
Yeah. let's see. For me, I guess answering the question since you mm-hmm. flipped it on me. Firefly is definitely one that comes to mind immediately.
Okay.
Star Wars.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. Virtually everybody that I have talked to has mentioned Star Wars at some point. Yeah, no surprise there. like you said, so many things.
Hard?
Yeah,
now
it is. Yeah.
Feel bad for
Huh. Well, I always try. I mean, I always give people, you know, I give people suggestions, and I'll say like, you know, movies or TV or you know, music if it's music.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. It's not an easy answer.
For sure, it's hard. It's hard when you just there's a lot of great stuff, and we also, you know, we're human beings. We like a lot of things.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Exactly. there's frequently one or two things that kind of stand out for a lot of people, but not true. Necessarily everybody. Star Trek is another one that comes up pretty frequently.
I've been watching actually the original Star Trek on Netflix recently. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. I'm enjoying it so much. Like, it's just such an interesting snapshot of like that period of history or that period of like American life, you know.
Right. Have you watched it before?
I'd seen some, but not the entire thing. I'm sitting down and going from like, you know, episode through episode, this time around, and it's dope.
Yeah. I bought the DVDs or the Blu-rays a couple of years ago, and I still haven't gotten around to actually watching the whole thing.
All right. Well, maybe we can like help each other, you know, we'll get through, we'll watch all of them, and then we can chat about it.
When I'm hit by an enemy, I feel the pain. Killing me softly like Lauryn Hill sang. I'm dizzy, I feel like I sip purple drink. I get giddy when I see an energy tank. Shooting the bubble, I walk out the door. Looking for trouble, you already know. I got a new weapon, I'm ready to show. I'll be dropping a bomb while I tuck in a roll. I'm about to blow like a big landmine. Cause I can roll and drop a bomb at the same damn time. Yeah, don't you like my power ups? Got a few.
So before we kind of wrap everything up, do you have anything else that you want to promote or announce?
Sure. I guess just to kind of keep people updated on what's going on with me, if they're familiar with some of my work. So over the past year and a half since I dropped the Metroid project, I've had the opportunity to go on some tours. So that's been really exciting. And I'm in the process of planning us maybe West Coast run at the end of this year. So that's really exciting because I haven't been out there for extended periods of time. And I'm just working on my next full length project to kind of, I guess, talk about what you said earlier with walking this line as it relates to nerdcore. This project, I would say, is more Open Mic Eagle than it is another M.
Okay.
but it's still like you can tell that I'm a person who is very, very passionate about the games and cartoons that shaped my whole existence. So I'm really, really excited about that. I've been sharing little tiny snippets on like Instagram and performing a few of the pieces at some of my more recent shows. So, and I've had good reception. So I'm just really excited to finish recording everything and drop that probably at the top of next year.
Okay. All right. You have an a cappella track that you've that I've seen you do live. Yes. Is that one going to be on there? I can't remember what it's called.
Definitely. It's called Perfect Dark.
Okay.
And that will be on there.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited to do that. And I'm a little bit nervous because the version that I have for the album has a beat, and so many people are like, I love acapella. So I may just have to record like an acapella version and just do like a bonus track or something.
Nice. Nice.
Absence of a beat that people are into.
Right. All right. Well, it's been really great talking with you today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And actually this is actually the first interview that I've arranged via a label instead of via directly with the person. So I feel professional and legitimate and everything. So
you're super professional. And the only reason why that's the case is because I'm a hot mess.
Nice.
So I have to have other people organize my life for me, because otherwise this would never have happened. So
I kind of feel like that this time. I have four interviews, including this one. I have four interviews this weekend. So that was an interesting choice on my part. So I totally understand.
Hey, it's all good.
All right. So thanks again for being on here, and stay geeky.
Thanks again to Samus for joining me. She didn't mention the Women Beatmakers Conference that she's organizing, but it's coming up on October 17th in Brooklyn. I've included a link with details, including a really cool mixtape, in the show notes. If you like the episode, be sure to subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes. And if you or someone you know would like to be on the show, contact me via email at darthaqueous@gmail.com or via Twitter at darthaqueous. Join me next time for someone else really cool from the world of geek music. Until then, stay geeky.